Last week, Tony started us on this two-part series on destinations. And what he talked about was we need to have our refuge in God. And the premise of this series is that our direction determines our destination. And it's something that's obvious in the area of driving or hiking through the woods, that the direction that we go determines our destination. But oftentimes we overlook this in other areas of our lives, in the areas of relationships, in the areas of finances, and we think that just because we intend to go somewhere that somehow we'll get there, that our intentions determine our destination. And it's the principle of the path. And the path principle says our direction, not our intentions, determine our destination. And what we learned last week was that we must be committed to responding appropriately to the things in our lives that are warning signs. And the prudent see danger and they seek refuge. They do something about it. But the simple, they just keep going and they think everything's going to work out. See, it doesn't matter if you're the smartest, most intuitive, wisest person there is. When it comes to choosing paths that lead to desired destination, we need to have refuge in God. Now today, as we finish up this series on destinations, I want to add one more part to this formula and kind of complete it. And when we hear it, we're going to say, yeah, that's quite obvious. But we often overlook it. In the areas of driving or hiking, yes, it's obvious. But in the areas of relationships, in the areas of our spiritual life or in our marriage, in finances, we tend to overlook it. And so the rest of this formula, yes, direction determines destination, but oftentimes it's the things or people that get our attention that influence our direction. So we have this principle, the ADD principle, attention, direction, destination. Now, looking back in our lives, we know it's true. And there's really two ways I want to talk to you about today that things or people get our attention. You know, I love the phrase we use. We say, that grabbed my attention or that captured my attention. And the idea behind that is you're walking along, you're kind of minding your own business, and you're focused on something. And all of a sudden, something comes out and grabs your attention. So the things that grab or capture our attention influence our direction. It pulls us away. You know, and this happened to me in 1992. I was about a year out of school. I was working at Eastman as an engineer, and I was enjoying the bachelor life, right? I had a bunch of friends, and we did things together. We went and played sports. And one of the older gentlemen in my group, he came to me. He says, you know, I'd like you to meet my daughter. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, we worked together, and if I started dating her, it could cause a problem. And I kind of held off for a little while. And some of the other guys in the group, they said, man, you really need to meet this girl. You really need to meet her. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. So we go on a date, the three of us. We go to lunch together. We decided that'd be a nice, safe thing to do. And I think it was just as much her as it was me. I mean, she's thinking an engineer, come on. And we go to lunch, and I can remember Coy. He's just looking at his plate and eating while Michelle and I carry on conversation. And she captured my attention. She captured my attention. And then I called her later that day. I didn't waste too much time. And we go out on a date. And now there are people on this earth that would not be here if she had not captured my attention. There's children, right? So the things that grab or capture our attention influence the direction of our lives. So one way is our attention can be captured. And when things capture your attention, they influence your direction. The things, and you can look back, we all know it's true. You can look back on things in your life that captured your attention. And many, many times, certainly not in the case that I mentioned, but many, many times we wish we'd have kept going. You know, but you know what you did? You did what all of us did at that point. At some point, we did this. We looked at him, we said, oh no, I should not go there. But let me make sure I should not go there. Yeah, I shouldn't go there. Well, maybe I should take a couple laps around back just to make sure how much I should not go there. And what happens? It captures our attention and we end up changing our route. And so oftentimes, these things lead to our biggest regrets in life. And why is that? And it's because it led to a destination that we never intended to go. But there's another side to this. Not only can our attention be captured or grabbed, our attention can also be given. And there's a big difference between what captures our attention and what we give or pay attention to. See, capture is usually emotional. It's reactive. What we pay or give our attention to is often intentional. It's proactive. You know, I mentioned the story about Michelle and I. Well, yes, she captured my attention at first, but because it was going to lead to a destination that I desired, I started giving attention to that relationship. And it's much like our faith relationship, our spiritual relationship. There are people that are intentional about it with their time, their talents, their treasures. And then there are people that are reactive about it. Yeah, when I show up at church and they mention something about giving, I'll give. And each of those have a direction to them and they have a destination, a predetermined or predefined destination. And this is true in all of us. There are things looking back that we wish we'd have paid more attention to, right? But what happened? Something captured your attention, and it may have been a good thing. Something captured your attention, and you didn't pay attention to the things that you wanted to. And whatever captures our attention, whatever gets our attention, whether given or captured, influences the direction of our life. And every direction has a destination. Here's why it's important right now. Because right now, there's some of you in here that something is getting your attention. And when it first happened, you said, no, I'm not going to go there. But over time, it kept coming. It kept coming, and slowly, it's grabbing your attention. And there are people in your lives that said, no, you don't need to go there, but you didn't listen. And then on the other hand, there are those of you that your life has never been better because you're finally paying attention to the things that are going to ultimately benefit you. And see, my observation is this. The things that grab or capture our attention are typically dangerous for me and result in an undesired destination. And then the things that I choose to pay or give attention to are typically good for me and result in a desired destination. Whatever has your attention right now at this moment is affecting the direction of your life, and every direction has a destination. See, here's the interesting thing. If there is a God, and I believe there is, which is probably no surprise, if there is a God and He cares about us and He wants to speak to us through His Word, which is a stretch for some of us, right? But I'm there. So there is this God who exists, who cares for us and wants to speak intimately to us through His Word. And this God has told us this principle over and over and over through Scriptures. There's over 36 people that contributed to the Bible. And this principle is found throughout. And today, what we've done is we've picked five snippets of Scripture. And in these Scriptures, God is saying over and over and over that the things that grab our attention influence our direction. And the first Scripture is from the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, I know you read it often. Moses wrote Deuteronomy, and the Israelites are about to go in and take the Holy Land. And God is speaking through Moses to the Jewish people, his chosen people, and he's saying this. He said, you know, I know you're going to be tempted by the surrounding nations. When you go in and take this land, you're going to look around and see the way they're doing things, and you're going to want to copy it. You're going to be tempted to do it. You're going to look at the way they do government and say, hey, let's do it that way. Or you're going to look at the way they do their economy and say, hey, let's do it that way. You're going to look at the way they are sexually and you're going to say, whoa, let's do it that way. And this is what God said through Moses. He says, if you pay attention, there it is, right? If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them. So there's the direction. That's the whole path thing we're talking about. Then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. See, God's arrangement with the Israelites was this. He says, if you obey me and if you follow the path that I have lined out for you, then I'm going to bless you in the land. And all the people in the surrounding nations, all the people in the world are going to say, whoa, who is their God? And then he goes on to say this. He says, but, and this is paraphrasing, but if you depart from my laws and get distracted, then there is another path. I am going to send other nations in to invade you, and I'm going to kick you out of the land until you get your act together. And here's the interesting thing. The Israelites, they did exactly what we do. They got really focused and obeyed for a little while, and God blessed them. And then they got apathetic. They got this sense of entitlement, and they said, hey, look over there, I want that. I want to do it that way. And they got all out of sorts with God, and God removed his blessing. So way back then, God is saying, I am your heavenly Father, and I want there to be a sense of intimacy between us, but you must pay attention. Because whatever has your attention, it has your life, and it has your future. And then many, many years later, David, the second king of Israel, you've heard of him. He comes on the scene, and he's talking to God, and he says it this way. Direct me in the path of your commands. In other words, I want you to be a personal God who directs me in the path of your commands. For there I find delight. And then verse 37, turn my eyes. And the eyes all throughout Scripture is a way of referring to our attention. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Think about the power of that statement. Turn my eyes from worthless things. Because when I become fixated on worthless things, I tend to go in the direction of worthless things. Every one of us, whether you're a Christian or you're still trying to figure this out, you can think back to a time when you became fixated on worthless things. It was a total waste of your time. So David is saying, I want my attention on things that mattered, because attention, direction, destination. And then he goes on to say, preserve my life according to your words. In other words, I don't want to end some season of my life and look back and say, how in the world did I get here? Preserve my life according to your word. Keep my attention over time away from worthless things. That's a powerful statement. And then David's son, Solomon, he comes on the scene several years later, and he references this principle as well. And Solomon is talking to men in this scripture. And you know, men, we have the other form of ADD. We're very visually driven, and we can be walking a path focused on something. Something captures our attention, and we turn. And what I found in life is it usually happens when I'm frustrated, I'm stressed, I'm bored, or I'm tired. That's when we're most vulnerable. So this scripture is a good memory verse for us, and ladies as well, because you tend to get distracted too. But this is a good memory verse for us because when we are being tempted, we could quote it, and maybe by the time we're through it, we're past the distraction. And Solomon says this, "Let your eyes look straight ahead." Yes, he's talking to men in particular, young men, and he's saying, look straight ahead. Why? Because our attention determines our direction. And usually the things that are harmful to us are not straight ahead. They're to the left or to the right. And then he goes on, if you fix your gaze directly before you, or he says, fix your gaze directly before you. In verse 27, he says, do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. What Solomon is referring to is this. From time to time, we're going to be tempted to allow our gaze, our attention, to go to worthless things. And when something captures your attention, it captures your life and it captures your future. And then, hundreds of years later, Jesus comes along. And he says this in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. You know, that's one of those scriptures you could just pass right over and never really understand what that means. See, in this time, they did not have power, right? There was no electricity. So when they walked around at night, they carried these oil lamps in front of them or on a by hand or on a long pole, because the further out the light was, the more you could see. So essentially, you followed around this light. Wherever the lamp went, the body went. So Jesus is saying this, whatever you see, whatever you gaze at, whatever has captured your attention, whatever you're paying attention to, can impact our entire lives. Just as the body follows the lamp, our entire lives follow our eyes. And he says this, if your eyes are healthy or wholesome or pure, your whole body will be full of light. What this means is, if our eyes are focused on positive things, then our body is full of light. Our entire lives are full of light. And he goes on to say, if our eyes are focused on bad things, our bodies, our entire lives are full of darkness. He's saying that our attention determines our direction. And our direction ultimately determines our destination. And then years later, the author of Hebrews, and we don't know who the author of Hebrews was, but he's speaking to a group of Christians, and Jesus is long gone. Well, he's still there, but he's not physically there, right? And this author, he's saying to the group of Christians, because he's giving them a warning, because they're starting to get fixated on worthless things. And he says this, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. There it is again, attention. And it's all throughout Scripture. And when I read this, I think of just the little things that kind of eat away at us. And over time, we steer away, you know. It's something that you almost don't notice. And so he's telling us we must pay the most careful attention. Because when something captures our attention, it captures us. It captures you. So here's the tough thing. You know, this principle is easy to recognize in other people, right? I'm sure there's many of you here saying, oh, I wish my husband was here. Or I wish my wife was here. Or I wish my boyfriend or girlfriend was here. Because we can all think of those people in our lives that we love very much, whether it's a friend or a family member, that we've seen going down that path, and we say, oh no, you don't want to go there. But they say, it's no big deal. I'll just go there a minute, and we just see it coming, right? See, if you're a parent, boy, do we ever live in this world. Because we know that the things that capture our children's attention have the ability to influence their entire lives. I mean, we can't help it. We have a built-in overreactor, and most parents don't see where their kids are. They see where they're headed. Well, you know what? Our Heavenly Father is a Heavenly Father. And He doesn't just see where we are. He sees where we're headed. And He loves us so much, and He cares about our destination. And He knows whatever captures our attention captures our life. So here are two questions to ask and to think about as you go forward this week. The first one is this: what has captured your attention from which you need to free yourself? It could be something good, you know. It could be that you're really focused on your health, you're beginning to eat right, and then you're working out all the time. It could be good, but that's not the issue. The issue is something good has distracted you, and you're beginning to change your route, and it's affecting the direction of your life. It's affecting your priorities, right? You need to know the answer to this, because whatever has your attention right now is affecting the entire direction of your life. And if you say, oh no, not me, then really you're a fool. Because this is a principle. And just like every other principle, it's going to happen whether you believe it or whether you participate in it or not. You don't break it, you break yourself against it. Attention, direction, destination. The second question is this: what do you need to begin giving more attention to? Where do I need to be intentional in my life? Because it's not just about being yanked around by our emotions. We can choose proactively to pay attention to something. You've done it before in your life, right? And it's like what we tell our kids: you need to know what you stand for, or you fall for anything. Well, we need to choose to proactively give our attention to something, or something is going to capture our attention. And many, many times, not all the time, it's destructive. And for some of you, you know, you've just begun, but you're starting to pay more attention to your spiritual life. You know, maybe you signed up for our classes, intro, or membership. We've designed these environments where you can grow in that, where you can become all that God designed you to be. Maybe you signed up for a small group or a Bible study. Or maybe you're taking that next step of faith and getting baptized. Whatever it is, keep it up. Or maybe you're like me, and several years ago, you realize you need to carve out a certain amount of time during your day that you give reading the Word and you give to prayer. But over time, you've kind of drifted away because other things, and they could be good, have captured your attention. Hey, what about your marriage, right? Is that something you need to pay more attention to? Because in today's society, you know, we get married, we say I do, and then you're just supposed to go on autopilot. Yeah, you pay attention to your children, you pay attention to your career, and then, you know, we just expect the marriage to kind of fly itself. Well, not if you want a great marriage. You know, Michelle and I went to a wedding a couple weeks ago. It was one of my cousins up in Cincinnati. And one of the things that really struck me is my uncle and his wife, he is retired from a large company where he was an executive. He graduated from the Naval Academy and got this job, and he rose to the top of the organization, had a great career. And his wife is a dentist, It always struck me years ago just how pretty she was. And when I saw them at this wedding, I just knew there was something wrong. He's retired. His career's over, what he was focused on. And he's drinking all the time. And she just looked very stressed. She looked very unhappy. So, what about you? Is your marriage something you need to pay attention to? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your spiritual life. But whatever it is, whatever has your attention right now is to determine the direction of your life, which determines your destination. It's simple. And it's been there for thousands and thousands of years. And the reason why our Heavenly Father has made it so clear throughout Scripture is because He cares about us. And He cares about where we're headed. He cares about the destination. And He doesn't want to see us go through a season in our life and look back and say, how in the world did I get here? My heart's desire is that you take these principles that Tony and I have talked about in the last 2 weeks and you lay them out before God. And you say, God, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? I see red flags. I see warning signs along the path. And I need to do something different. There are things that have captured my attention that I never thought would. And it's influencing the direction of my life. It's interfering with some of my most valued relationships. And there's some things that I've neglected over the years that I need to pay more attention to. See, I don't know how this lands on you, but it's a principle. And whether we come together 5 years from now or next year at this same date, it's going to affect your life whether you embrace it or not, or whether you change anything or not, because it's a principle. Attention, direction, destination. So bottom line is this. Let's pay attention to the things that have our attention, because they are influencing our future. Let your eye be focused straight ahead, because your eye is the lamp of the body. Attention, direction, destination. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have made this principle so clear throughout your word. With all the different people that have contributed to it, this principle stands throughout, Father. And you're telling us that when we focus our attention on the right things, it's going to determine our direction, and it's ultimately going to be a destination that benefits us. Father, I pray over those in here that this message has been resounding to them, Father, that has spoken to them. I just pray your hand upon them. They'll have the courage to go forward and put it to work in their life, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.